The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." It's like a man going away. He leaves his house in charge of his servants, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Isn't that gorgeous? "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, so that your name would be made known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence." We like a show. We like a show, and the bigger, the better. The last few rounds of the Olympics, I've allowed myself the guilty pleasure of watching the opening ceremonies. And one of the things I've noticed is that each time they come around, they get a little bigger and a little more elaborate and more elaborate and more elaborate. They're wonderfully inventive and wonderfully creative. It's great fun to see what these folks come up with to do the opening ceremonies, but one of the things I've noticed is that each time they're bigger and better. You might remember a couple of years ago the release of the movie Star Wars, the first episode, and along with the opening of that movie, a whole lot of hoopla and hype and efforts to make this the biggest opening of the biggest movie of all time, and on and on. Well, I remember back thousands of years ago when I was in the seminary in Dubuque, I was one of the first 100 people to see the original Star Wars movie when it was playing in Dubuque, and I thought it was a pretty good movie without all of the hoopla and the hype and all of the promotion and this bigger and bigger and bigger stuff. But it all goes to a trend that I see, that more and more it takes a mega event, not just a mere event, but a mega event, a great big one. A mega event just to get our attention. If something doesn't warrant a mega event, somehow it just isn't all that important in 21st century American thinking. It takes a mega event just to get our attention. Truly the Israelites live. The ancient people of God, the people who first hear Isaiah's words, these Israelites live. And they are us. As Pogo, the old cartoon character, once said, "We have met the enemy and he is us." Well, the Israelites live, and they are us. In love, I think, with mega events. The bigger, the better, and bigger, and bigger, and bigger still. Christmas is fast approaching, as you may be aware. There are but 24 shopping days left until Christmas, yes. And if you keep Christmas Eve, as many households do, is less than 24 days for you to do that. And frankly, I tremble as Christmas approaches. I tremble because over the years I have grown to like Christmas less and less. That is a terrible thing to have to admit, given what it is I do for a living, but it's true. I have come to like Christmas less and less, and that has a lot to do with this mega-eventism. I think I made that word up. This mega-eventism that has come to infect Christmas both inside and outside the church, just as with movie openings and Olympic Games and a lot of other things. This mega eventism. Stores are, once again, outdoing one another in extravagance to attract the shoppers. They had decorations out way before Halloween, for crying out loud, this year. And with, you know, the trees and the ornaments and the ribbons and the packages and the banners and the wreaths and the lights and the elves and the Santa Clauses and the reindeer and on and on. It's hard to find the merchandise behind all of that stuff. Yeah? But it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. And some of this, I fear, flops over into the worship life of the church, so that increasingly I get the sense that Christmas Eve services had better be a wow, or they aren't going to attract people's attention, and worshipers who come are not going to feel spiritually satisfied or uplifted or enlightened or filled with joy or any of those other things. It's not going to be big enough for them to feel like it was keeping Christmas. And that causes me to tremble some. And here is Jesus this morning in Mark's Gospel saying, "Watch, be alert, keep awake, be on guard. Something big is on the way." It's almost as though he's feeding this mega event thinking. There's something big, the biggest thing ever is coming on the way. You must be watching, be ready, fueling the fire. Well, I'm all for being attentive. I think that paying attention to life is a really important and valuable thing. I am very much in favor of being attentive, but what are we watching for? Seems to me a really important question to ask. What are we watching for? What do we hope to see? What do we expect to happen? These are all familiar Advent themes. We talk about them every year. Expectation, hope, watching and waiting. But what are we watching for? I think that's an essential question. What are we watching for? Do we, in fact, like the Israelites of old, expect God to rend the heavens and come down, tear the sky open above us and appear in full divine glory? What do we expect to happen? Do we hope that God will, in an equally glorious way, step into the world as it is and fix everything that's wrong with it? That would be a variation on that theme. Do we expect God to step into the world and fix everything? Settle things with Saddam, once and for all. Solve all our pollution problems. They're in the news again this week. Keep the traffic on the 5 and the 15 moving. Now, it may take a divine intervention, actually, to make that whole thing work. Make computer error messages a thing of the past. I would be in favor of that one. God is welcome to come anytime and fix that, actually. What do we hope to see? Are we watching for an end of all illness? That's one of the signs of the kingdom. Are we watching for an enduring peace to break out in the world? Are we watching for an actual closing of the gap between the haves and the have-nots, between the wealthier and the poorer, between those who have much and those who have less? What are we watching for? That is not a question I intend to try to answer quickly or easily, and I hope you won't either. I think it's a real question, and I want you to ponder it in this Advent season. What are we watching for? In Mark's Gospel, when Jesus tells his hearers, "Be on guard, be alert, watch," he has already entered Jerusalem in what appears for all the world to be a triumph. In fact, that's how we refer to it in the life of the church. We call it Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the reading that is familiar to us from Palm Sunday. It is also the alternate gospel reading for this first Sunday in Advent. "Hosanna," shouts the crowd. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David." apparently they like a big event too. They like a show every bit as much as we do. In fact, so much that they vandalize the neighbor's trees and strip off the palms and lay them on the road. They're so excited. Now, this morning, in the gospel reading from Mark, Jesus is preaching in the temple, warning his hearers, that were God indeed to come and bring God's kingdom in its fullness, were that to happen, were God to come and bring the kingdom in God in its fullness, Jesus' hearers might find themselves in some seriously deep doo-doo. Speak not too lightly or too easily about the coming of God. Speak not too lightly or too easily about the coming of God, because when God comes, everything is called into question. Everything is called into question. Every word, every action, every failure to act, everything is called into question. When God comes, never mind the glitz and the glamour and the glorious show. When God comes with questions for us. And questions for us to answer. Questions for us about how we are living our lives with one another. Questions about what we are about in the world. Questions about whether God is indeed God for us, or whether something else may have been allowed to take God's place in our lives. When God comes with questions. And questions for us to answer. How much better that we might ask ourselves these questions first, before God has to. One way of thinking about it. How much better that we ask ourselves these questions before God has to. The prophet Isaiah declares, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. Well, is this so for us? Is this so for us? Is all of our attention on this Holy One who works for us, who waits for him? Note that the prophet Isaiah also laments in the very same passage, there is no one who calls on your name, O Lord, or attempts to take hold of you. Is this so for us? Where are we on this extraordinary continuum between those who wait for the Lord and those who would not even call on the Lord? Where are we in that? That's a real question. That is a real question. What is so for us? What are we watching for? That is a real question to ponder in these Advent days. What are we watching for? O Lord, you are our Father, says Isaiah. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. God isn't finished with us yet, goes the old saying. You've heard that, yes? God isn't finished with us yet. May this be so for us in this Advent season. Let everyone say amen.